Hey guys, how else can I say it other than this? Welcome to the terrible last days. Guys, it ain't pretty by any means, but yet it is the generation God has called us to live in. You guys remember when Jesus turned the water into wine? You know, the governor of the feast declared how the best was saved for last. And that's exactly what God has done in this generation. He has saved the best for last. So don't you ever feel insignificant in this life again, because God has called you to live in this very prophetic season to help usher in the rapture of the church and to call out to a lost and dying world to give them one more chance of receiving Christ as their Savior. Keep warning the world, guys. Keep warning the world to flee the wrath that is soon coming over the whole world. And that is why God chose you, guys. Our God did save the best for last to get this thing done. But you know, guys, God is obligated by His character to warn the world of the imminent return of His Son. The reason is that Jesus is returning in great wrath to judge and wage war, Revelation 19:11. And God never pours out His wrath without warning. God does not wish that any should perish, but that all should be brought to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. Therefore, God always warns before He executes His wrath. You know, He warned the world through Noah for 120 years. He warned Sodom and Gomorrah through Abraham. He sent Jonah to warn the pagan city of Nineveh. And He sent Nahum to the same city 150 years later. You know, likewise, God is warning the world today that His Son is about to return. He is calling the world to repentance. The message of the hour to unbelievers can be summed up in these words: flee from the wrath that is to come by fleeing into the loving arms of Jesus now. You know, Jesus came the first time as an expression of God's love. He came to die for the sins of mankind. But when He returns, He will come in vengeance to pour out the wrath of God on those who have rejected God's love and amazing grace. You know, the soon return of Jesus also carries with it a message for believers. God is alerting believers of the soon return of His Son through what are called signs of the times. These are prophecies concerning world events that we're told to watch for, prophecies that will identify the season of the Lord's return. Guys, we're there. You know, the Bible is full of these signs. There are about 500 prophecies in the Old Testament that relate to the second coming of the Messiah. In the New Testament, one out of every 25 verses is concerned with the return of Jesus. In fact, there are so many signs that it is difficult to grasp every one of them. You know, we're told to watch for earthquakes, famine, pestilence, and signs in the heavens. You know, this is the least respected category of signs for several reasons. For one thing, many people simply shrug their shoulders and say, there have always been natural calamities, so what else is new? You know, note that Jesus says these signs will be like birth pangs. You know, that is, they will increase in frequency and intensity as the time draws near for His return. In other words, there will be more intense earthquakes and more frequent ones, and that is exactly what is happening in the world today. You know, another reason these signs are given little respect is because most Christians are so rationalistic that they do not really believe in the supernatural, and they therefore find it difficult to believe that God speaks to the world through signs of nature, yet the Bible teaches this principle from start to finish. You know, God dealt with the world's sin through a great flood in the days of Noah. He called the nation of Judah to repentance through a terrible locust invasion. You read about Joel 1. and like one he called for the nation of Israel to repent by sending drought, wind, storms, mildew, locusts, famine, and pestilence. Read about that in Amos 4, 6 through 10. You know, the prophet Haggai pointed to a drought as evidence that God was calling the people to get their priorities in order. Haggai 1, 10 through 11. You know, the New Testament begins with a special light in the heavens, marking the birth of Messiah. On the day that Jesus was crucified, there were 3 hours of darkness and an earthquake. And when Jesus returns, the earth will experience the greatest earthquake in its history, as every mountain is lowered, every valley is raised, and every island is moved. Revelation 16, 17 through 21, guys. You know, God has always spoken through signs of nature, and he continues to do so today. We'd better pay close attention to him, guys, and I know many of us already have been. You know, Jesus said that society will become increasingly lawless. You know, these are the signs of society. He said that society will become increasingly lawless and immoral as the time approaches for his return. In fact, he said it would become as evil as it was in the days of Noah. Paul paints a chilling picture of end-time society in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. He said it will be characterized by three loves: the love of self, or humanism; the love of money, or materialism; and the love of pleasure, or hedonism. He then points out that the payoff of that carnal lifestyle will be what the philosophers call a society wallowing in despair. Men's minds will become depraved, Romans 1:28, and people will call evil good and good evil, Isaiah 5:20. We're seeing these prophecies fulfilled before our very eyes today, guys, as we watch society reject its Christian heritage and descend into a hellish pit of lawlessness, immorality, and despair. Guys, there are both positive and negative spiritual signs that we are to watch for. We can look at spiritual signs too, guys. You know, the negative ones include the appearance of false Christ and their cults, the apostasy of the professing church, an outbreak of Satanism, and the persecution of faithful Christians. You know, these negative spiritual signs began to appear in the mid-19th century when Christian cults started forming. First came the Mormons, then the Jehovah's Witnesses, and then a great variety of spiritualist groups like the Church of Christ Scientists and the Unity Church. You know, the apostasy of the mainline Christian denominations began in the 1920s when the German School of Higher Criticism invaded American seminaries and undermined the authority of the Scriptures, teaching that the Bible is man's search for God rather than God's revelation to man. During the 1960s, Satanism exploded on the American scene and has since been exported worldwide through American movies, books, and television programs. You know, dabbling in the occult has become commonplace in the form of astrology, numerology, crystal gazing, transcendental meditation, and channeling. The whole trend has consummated in the appearance of the New Age movement with its teaching that man is God. You know, guys, as society has secularized, true Christianity has come under increasing attack. Judeo-Christian values, once the foundation of Western civilization, are now openly mocked, and those who still adhere to them are categorized as intolerant fundamentalists by the media. You know, the positive spiritual signs include the proclamation of the gospel to the whole world, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and spiritual illumination to understand prophecies that have been sealed up until the end times. You know, as with the negative signs, we're seeing these positive signs fulfilled in our day and time through the use of modern technology. The gospel has been proclaimed throughout the world in this century, and the Bible has been translated into all major languages. The great end time pouring out of the Holy Spirit that was prophesied by the prophet Joel has also begun. Joel called it the latter rain, Joel 2:23, and he said it would occur after the Jews had returned to their land, the state of Israel, which was reestablished in 1948. Now, guys, I do believe revival is in the air, but I want to say something. I believe the greatest revival will be after the rapture of the church, when the 144,000 Jews rise up and evangelize the whole world. Guys, keep praying for your loved ones. They might be a tribulation saint, but they'll be in heaven. Keep praying. You know, the acceleration in the understanding of Bible prophecy began in 1970 with the publication of Hal Lynch's book, The Late Great Planet Earth. I remember that, guys. I remember that. You know, for many, it seemed to open up to a popular understanding many prophecies that had been sealed up until the end times. You can read about that in Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 and 9. Remarkably, it became the number one bestseller in the whole world, with the sole exception of the Bible, for the next 10 years. Guys, people were hungry. God had put a hunger in people's hearts to understand prophecy and so on and so on. That's probably about when I started getting interested in it. But there's also signs of technology. You know, the book of Daniel says that there will be an explosion of knowledge in the end times and that people will move about quickly. You read about all that in Daniel 12:4. There are many Bible prophecies that cannot be understood apart from modern technology. For example, how can the whole world look upon two bodies lying in the streets of Jerusalem? You know, that'd be related to being able to watch all that with modern television satellite technology, and that makes it easy, guys. How can the false prophet build an image of the Antichrist that appears to be alive? The answer, of course, is the science of robotics. How can the false prophet require all people on earth to take the mark of the Antichrist in order to buy and sell? It would not be possible apart from computers and lasers and all these chips and all this stuff they got going on, guys. You know, Jesus said that the tribulation will be so terrible that all life on earth would cease to exist if he did not cut the period short. How could all life be threatened prior to the advent of nuclear weapons? Another reference to nuclear powers likely contained in Luke's statement that men in the end times will faint from fear because the powers of the heaven will be shaken. You can read about that in Luke 21:26. That certainly sounds like a reference to the splitting of the atom to me, guys. Then you have the signs of world politics. You know, the Bible prophesies that there will be a certain pattern of world politics that will characterize the end time geopolitical map. The focus will be the reestablished state of Israel. Go to Zechariah 12:2-3. It will be besieged by a menacing nation from the remote parts of the north, the nation of Rosh, or modern-day Russia. There will also be a threatening nation to the east that will be capable of sending an army of 200 million, namely China. You know, a third source of danger to Israel will be the Arab nations that immediately surround it. They will covet the land and will try to take it from the Jews. Guys, that stuff's happening right now, man. Just look at Israel, guys. We don't have long. Don't listen to the guys that say, well, the rapture's going to be on this date. Bye, 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 bye. Just get over that mess, man. Just know we are in the season of the rapture. Don't get discouraged or disheartened when somebody's date comes and goes. Forget all that mess. Just keep your eyes in the skies because our king is coming. And I cannot wait. Another key player on the world political scene in the end times will be a coalition of European nations that will form a confederation centered in the area of the old Roman Empire. This confederation will serve as the political base for the rise of the Antichrist and the creation of his worldwide kingdom. Daniel 7:8. Other international political signs include wars and rumors of wars, civil wars, and general international terrorism and lawlessness. You know, then there's the signs of Israel's. The signs related to the state of Israel are prolific and very important. You know, the most frequently repeated prophecy in the Old Testament is a prediction that the Jewish people will be regathered from the four corners of the earth in the end times. You can read Isaiah 11, verses 10 through 12. The Bible states that a consequence of this regathering will be the reestablishment of the state of Israel. Isaiah 66:7-8. The scriptures say that once the Jews are back in their land, the land itself will experience a miracle of reclamation. Isaiah 35. The desert will bloom, and people will exclaim, "This desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden." Ezekiel 36:35. Another end-time miracle will be the revival of the Hebrew language. Read about that in Zephaniah 3:9. You know, most people are not really aware of the fact that when the Jews were dispersed from their land in 70 A.D., it wasn't long and they ceased to speak the Hebrew language. The Jews who settled in Europe developed a new language called Yiddish, and that's a combination of German and Hebrew. The Jews who migrated to the Mediterranean basin created a language called Ladino, a combination of Hebrew and Spanish. You know, other significant signs of Israel that we're told to watch for in the end times include the reoccupation of Jerusalem, Luke 21:24, and the resurgence of Israeli military strength, Zechariah 12:6, and the refocusing of world politics on Israel, Zechariah 12:3, and we see that going on right now. So what are you worried about? The rapture's getting ready to happen, guys. You know, all these signs have been fulfilled in this century. The nation has been reestablished. The land has been reclaimed. The ancient language has been revived, the language of Hebrew. The Jews are back in Jerusalem, and Israel is the focal point of world politics today. Jesus says in Luke 21:28, that when these signs begin to happen, we should straighten up, lift up our heads, because our redemption is drawing near. You know, guys, I believe Israel is the key sign. I believe Israel is a very key prophetic timepiece for God. We've all been seeing and hearing about the crisis going on in the Middle East. Israel is surrounded and hated by many nations. Even the USA is pulling back somewhat from them. Guys, time is short and our king is coming. Man, you do not want to touch the apple of God's eyes, man. We want to bless Israel, not curse them. Oh, help us, God. Guys, we are in the last seconds of the last days. It's all down to the wire, just like the Bible said, man. We are there. You know, but like I said, I believe the most important signs are the ones that relate to Israel, because God uses the Jews throughout the scriptures as his prophetic time clock. A good example of this principle can be found in Daniel chapter 9 in the famous 70 weeks of years prophecy. The prophet said to watch for a decree to be issued that would authorize the rebuilding of Jerusalem. He then said that the Messiah would come 69 weeks of years after that decree was issued to the Jewish people. You know, there are two key prophecies which relate to the return of Jesus. Jewish history since 1948. These two events clearly establish the period in which we are now living as a season of the Lord's return. The first is the reestablishment of the State of Israel, which occurred on May 14th, 1948. Jesus singled out this event as the one that would signal his soon return. His prophecy is contained in the fig tree parable, Matthew 24, verses 32 through 35, which he presented in his Olivet Discourse. The day before he delivered this speech, he had put a curse on a barren fig tree, causing it to wither. This was a symbolic prophecy that God would soon pour out his wrath upon the Jewish people because of their spiritual barrenness in rejecting his son. You know, the next day Jesus reminded his disciples of the fig tree. He said to watch for it to bloom again. In other words, he said, watch for the rebirth of Israel. He indicated that when the fig tree blooms again, he would be at the gates of heaven, ready to return. You know, equally significant, he added an interesting observation. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Matthew 24:34. What generation? Well, the generation that sees the fig tree blossom, and we are that generation. The fig tree has blossomed, and Jesus is at the door. You know, the second key event was prophesied by Jesus in the same speech as recorded by Luke. You know, the Jews will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Luke 21:24. The first half of this prophecy was fulfilled in 70 AD, 40 years after Jesus spoke the words. In that year, the Romans under Titus conquered Jerusalem and dispersed the Jews among the nations. Jerusalem remained under Gentile occupation for 1,897 years until June 7th, 1967. And that's when Israel won the city back during the Six-Day War, guys. The Jewish reoccupation of the city of Jerusalem is proof positive that we are living in the season of the Lord's return. Jesus said it would mark the end of the Gentile age. Guys, we have a call to action. You know, there is no way to escape the conclusion that we are living on borrowed time. The signs of the times are upon us, and they are shouting for our attention. They are also shouting rapture. Are you ready, guys? If Jesus were to return today, would he be your blessed hope, or would he be your holy terror? You know, if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now is the time to act. Repent of your sins and call upon the name of the Lord that you might be saved. Acts 2, 14 through 40, 39. And if you are a Christian, are we living as if Jesus might return any minute? Are we praying for the lost and witnessing for the Lord when we have an opportunity? Guys, are you yearning for the Lord's return? I know you are, and I know I am. Let's say with Paul that we are a candidate for a crown of righteousness because we have lived our life in the love of his appearing. Guys, all I know is that I am ready. I am rapture ready. Guys, I hope you've enjoyed the video. I just felt led to put it out. Man, let's just occupy and redeem the time for just a little bit longer. Just a little while longer. Eternity's going to be a long, long time, guys. It's more than going to make up for all the pain and suffering we've ever endured in this world. Well, guys, I'm going to close right there. But I love every one of you. God bless you all. See you in the clouds in Maranatha. I want to thank each of you so much for joining with me for today's video. But I want to ask a very important question. Are you saved? If you're not saved and would like to know Jesus as your Savior, know this. Today is the day for your salvation. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Just know that today is the day. Guys, there is no do-it-yourself salvation. No one's works will ever get them to heaven. The word of faith says, confess with your mouth Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. And that's according to Romans 10, verse 9. Guys, salvation is so simple. It doesn't take works. It doesn't take faithful church attendance. It doesn't take sacrificial offerings. It is not hard. In fact, salvation is so simple that anybody with a mouth and a heart can have it. If it took works, many people couldn't do it. If it took a certain level of intellect, some people could never achieve it. If you have never received this free gift of salvation, you can do so today by praying this prayer. Just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, you said in your word, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins and that he was raised from the dead. I am calling upon his name, the name of Jesus. I now confess Jesus as my Lord. So I know, Father, that according to your word, I am now saved. Thank you, Father, for giving me the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, a miracle just happened. God swapped your human righteousness for the perfect divine righteousness of his Son, Jesus. God now sees you as spotless and blameless. In his eyes, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. You have received the free gift of salvation, and it will never be taken away from you. Welcome to the family of God.